Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I hope you're ready for the Word of God. I want you to prepare to hear the Word of God from our equipping pastor here at Father's Vineyard. It's Pastor Terry Wilson. He always brings a delightful word. He brings one that's encouraging. He brings one that is practical, and one that actually we can put to work in our own lives. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are. So welcome, and enjoy the Word of God from Pastor Terry Wilson.
Thank you, Pastor Terry. And it's funny, you know, when this COVID thing happened at the church and we needed to take a little bit of time, the word went out. Who can we get that is okay with being in a room by themselves, talking to themselves? And naturally said, well, the only person we know that speaks to themselves quite frequently is Wilson, so call him up. So I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you guys virtually, and I pray today that the message the Lord has given me will be of great benefit to you, and I think it will be, because I think it's a timely word for what we're all continually having to manage and be intentional about. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is being intentional and actually deciding on peace. Having peace before it's ever being challenged. Having a sense of wellness and contentment and just experiencing all that God has for us in our emotional and spiritual well-being, regardless of what we're going through, the circumstances, the situations, the people, the problems, or anything else that we could be facing in life. You know, there is a promise given to us that, yes, sometimes life throws us a curveball. Matter of fact, oftentimes, but we don't have to swing at every pitch, and we don't have to always just lower our head and say, oh gosh, I'm having to face this. No, we can get in the box with full confidence, knowing that God is on our side and He's already fixed the game for us. We win. And so sometimes it's so easy to forget that, especially when the hustle and bustle of life starts hitting you. Man, it's so easy to forget what God has promised and will do for us because of our circumstances and situations. And I was reminded, just a simple Bible verse that we've all been taught in Sunday school, and if you've been in church at all, you know this story. But as I was reading this and studying and thinking about, Lord, what should I give the people? I came across the story, and I was like, that's pretty simple, though. It's a basic. He says, but there's so much in this. And I got to dig, and I was like, man, there's some things in here where it sort of illustrates a constant day-to-day decision we have to make to have peace. And this is a story that's in Matthew, and I think it's in Mark, and I believe it's in one of the other Gospels, where Jesus and the disciples go across the lake there in a boat and encounter a storm. And so it's the story of Jesus calming the storm. But I broke that thing up and I said, man, there's so much to it. So let's get into the Word and see what God gives you today in our few moments together, because I really think there are some practical, applicable life lessons that we all, including myself, can learn from this incredible story of how even when the storms of life blow, we have the power to prophesy to it and not be affected by it, but actually change the atmosphere with our faith in the words that we speak. So let's get into it. The Bible says, and before we get into that, I saw this quote, and it says this: if you were depressed, you're living in the past. If you're anxious, well, you're living in the future. If you're at peace, though, well, you're living in the present. And that's right. Right now, I feel like that's where we're all called to not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself, and forget about what happened yesterday. Yesterday is gone. We can't control it. We can't do anything about it. It is done, except for learn from it. But we extrapolate all the things, and we milk it for everything it's worth as far as the life lessons and the spiritual lessons that Christ is giving us through His Word and His presence. But outside of that, there's no use of rehearsing it. So let's live in the presence and let's be intentional today with some decisions we're going to make to have peace. And into that story in Mark 4, verse 35, it says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him and with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them and with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Let's break it in, because I think I extrapolated about 11 different things right there, that 11 different decisions you and I are going to have to make if we're going to walk in the peace from the Prince of Peace that we are promised. So let's get into it. Number one, on that day when evening had come. The first decision I got to make is I got to be content with the season I'm in. On that day, you're going to have that day. That day is always going to come. Who knows when? Who knows how often? God only knows. But here's the thing, nothing can touch my life unless it goes through the sovereign hands of an almighty God that says he loves me and knew me before the foundations of the world. There is comfort in that. So no matter what I'm facing, no matter what news comes my way, no matter what disappointments I have to endure, no matter what travesties sometimes that I have to endure, I know that on that day, I can be content because that day did not catch him off guard. It might have caught me off guard. It might have set me back on my heels. It might have surprised me. It might have came out from nowhere. But I know this, it didn't surprise him. And if it didn't surprise him, then that means that he has a special grace and a special mercy for me in that season. So if you are finding yourself in that day, when the evening starts to come, when darkness starts to approach, when you can see on the horizons, oh, this might be trouble. Know this, that there is grace for you, there is mercy for you, there is power for you, there is a promise for you during that situation. On that day was known before it even showed up on your calendar. So I can be content in any and every season I walk through, and I can experience peace because even in the middle of that day, I know it didn't catch him off guard. Number two, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Another decision I have to make is I've got to be directed by peace. Who is saying, "Let us go to the other side"? That's Jesus speaking, the Prince of Peace. Are you guided by peace? You know, think about that for a second. Are the decisions you're making, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, who you're going to be with, what activities you got, the plans you have for you, is it directed by peace? You know, sometimes I tell you the worst enemy Terry Wilson has is Terry Wilson. Sometimes I allow other things, other desires, other motivations, other ambitions direct Terry Wilson and not peace. I'm not being directed by peace, but Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." And here's the thing, when I am directed by peace, when I am directed by the Prince of Peace, when I am directed in following his mandate, when I am following his ambitions, there's one thing I know. Whatever the mandate is, whatever the charge is, whatever the directive is, whatever the objective is, well, it's going to be met. Because right here, he's laying out, "Let us go to the other side." He didn't say, "Let us go." He didn't put a caveat in that. He didn't put a stipulational clause. "Well, we'll go as long as it's convenient. We'll do this as long as it's not hard. We'll, as long as we don't meet a storm or as long." No, he didn't say, "Let us go to the other side." And when Jesus is calling you and when Jesus is calling me, when the Prince of Peace is calling us to do something, when we're being guided by peace and not by anything else, we can be assured that whatever we're being guided by, well, we're going to accomplish. Every failure that I've ever had is because I've decided to be guided by something else other than the Prince of Peace. But when the Prince of Peace says, hey, let us go to this, let us do that, let us, the power of the word let is how the lights got turned on in all of creation. Let there be light. When God says, let something happen, it happens, right? So follow the Prince of Peace. I'm being directed by peace. I'm not being directed by anything else. And sometimes peace is in conflict with all of these other desires, goals, ambitions I have. So I always got to check myself. I always got to look at my motives. I always got to think, okay, this thing I want, is it being directed by, is it being guided by, is it being modified by, is it being shaped by peace? Because if I'm being directed by peace, I will experience peace. So that's a decision I got to make. Number three, the company I keep. It goes on and says, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. I've got to take Jesus, number one, just as he is. Not as I want him to be. Not as some my favorite preacher made him out to be. Not as some doctrine or religion or denomination has called him to be. I got to take him as he is. And who is he? He's who he says he is in his scripture, not being shaped by any man, but who he said he is. And when I take him and I'm willing to take him and leave a crowd, when I'm willing to leave my good time friends or this group of people or this, the naysayers or whatever crowd I'm coming from, when I'm willing to break away from popularity, when I'm willing to be a little bit criticized because I'm a little bit strange because I'm following this weird thing from 2,000 years ago, this guy named Jesus, especially in our culture today, you still believe in that iron age old fuddy-duddy grandma and grandpa's religion? Yes, yes, I do. I do believe that there was a man named Jesus that walked the earth, that literally walked the earth and did what he said he would do, performed it, was buried, crucified, buried, and rose in 3 days. I do. I absolutely do. And when I break away from any company that would say otherwise and try to pull me down, then all of a sudden I can start experiencing greater peace. It is hard. It is hard to walk a life and have a life of new wine when that new wine that you're trying to experience is still being served in an old wineskin. It's a hard struggle for any young person, any young Christian. If you're a young Christian, if you're a young buck in Christ, if you're someone who is trying to walk out this new walk of faith, I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you can do is get yourself in a group that's walking in the same direction. Not saying you have to be stuck up, not saying you have to be unapproachable, not saying you have to be, holier than thou. No. I'm saying keep yourself accountable and walk with the people that's got the same goals and ambitions and dreams that you have to be all that God has called you to be. It is hard. It is hard to be an exception. It is hard to be that peculiar people when you're walking and just still striving and hanging out with the norm. If you want to be abnormal, then you got to get out from the norm, okay? And so company you keep. My peace is going to be directly correspondent and congruent with the company I keep. Am I hanging with the Prince of Peace? Am I hanging with the people that's hanging with the Prince of Peace? Or am I hanging with just anybody and everybody just because it's what I'm used to? You want peace, another decision we have to make is, what company are we keeping? Number four, it goes on, and other boats were with them. Now, I don't know if these were other disciples. I don't know if this was just other followers. The scripture's really unclear there. But here's the thing. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, especially in the age of social media, especially in the age of this techno-digital world that we all live in, that everybody's got a camera videotaping all the time, know this, you've got onlookers all the time. You're being watched more than ever before. You're being observed. Oh, this problem just happened to Terry Wilson. How's Terry going to respond? Oh, this person just said this about Terry. How's Terry going to respond? The way you act and respond to your problems and all this, one of the things I've got to understand is the way I react that's being observed by others, it's going to have a direct influence and impact on the peace I have, because then it's going to be a reminder otherwise that, yeah, could have done better. And there's always going to be times where we fall short. But know this, that we're not only representing ourselves in this day and world. I'm telling you, more than ever before, this world needs a display of the supernatural peace that God has promised and gives His children if they're only willing to receive and accept. I'm telling you, there's onlookers. And, you know, sometimes that's a hard idea and reality to come in to accept sometimes. No one, because here's the thing, it goes back to that old, you know, years ago, and every year they do this survey of what's the greatest fears people have, you know, the top 10 fears of everybody. And every year it comes out public speaking number one, death number two, flying, you know, it goes on down. And it's about the same numbers. And Seinfeld had a funny bit, you know, public speaking is the number one fear year after year after year. And death is the second fear, which is hysterical. And Seinfeld's joke was this. He goes, more people are afraid of speaking at their funeral than being the one in it. So the point is this. The reason why people hate public speaking, the reason why they hate talking in a room by themselves into a camera or whatever, it's because nobody wants to feel awkward, looked at and judged and all of this other stuff, right? We don't like the onlooker situation. It's human nature. No one likes to be under a microscope. No one likes to feel like they're in an aquarium being looked at. And so you shouldn't have to carry that, not saying to carry that. To the extent that this, your faith, the way you carry yourself, the way you respond to people when they're not the nicest to you, the way that you do your business, the way you treat your family, the way you operate in your marriage, everything about you in today's world is in the public domain in a certain extent. If you're on social media, and even if you're not, you got friends, family, and neighbors that are watching and always have been. But the point is this, don't be afraid of it. Make it an opportunity to be a witness to the goodness and the greatness of the God that you serve. Because I can tell you, you're going to convert and you're going to influence and you're going to have a greater impact on more people in today's world by demonstrating a supernatural level of peace than they've ever known in the right in front of them when they're in the same boat, they're in the same situation, they're in the same pandemic you are, yet you're not afraid. You're not getting sucked in by all of the turmoil of the pandemonium politics and pandemic, as I like to say. But you're just sort of just gliding on out above the water, asleep at the in the back of the boat, just resting and knowing that you have got peace because you're going somewhere. I'm telling you, when you can have that and you have that authority and you can demonstrate that to the onlookers in the maybe a different boat but in the same storm, you are going to have a great impact and influence on this world greater than any other time before. I'm telling you, I'm excited about this time, to be honest with you. I really am. It gives me and you an opportunity to show the goods. So number five, what do I focus on? When the life's troubles come my way, when struggles come my way, when the storms of life coming in, what am I focused on? It says, and a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, the reason I know they paid attention to every detail about this situation is because it's recorded by the disciples in three different books of the Gospels. So I know the exact problem they were having with the flooding, with the wind, with the storm, with the waves, it was recorded. They were focused on it because It's written down for us in great detail. So my question to you, and my challenge to you, is this. When the storms of life come, am I focused on, and let us go to the other side, the promise of God? Or am I focused on the problem of the situation right then, and this happened, and now this is happening, and now this has happened? I'm telling you, the thing that I focus on is the thing that I'm going to magnify, and the thing that I magnify is what's going to have permission by my own account to start dictating how I feel. If I focus on my promise, then my promise is being magnified and it's getting greater and it's having a direct impact on the experience I'm having in this world right now during everything else going on. So what are you focused on when the winds and the storms come? Number six, permission to rest. Oh, this is a big one. But the Bible says Jesus, was asleep in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Now, I love this part. I'm not a big boat person. I don't know a lot about boats, but I had to look it up. Where's the stern at? What's the back of the boat? It's where the rudder is. It's where you drive. He is in the location of where we're going, because he done said this is where we're going, but he's asleep. What does that say? There's a part of me, and I'm sure some other people may be like me, that you feel like when problems arise, when situations come up, when storms of life are being challenging, you feel like you have this onus because it's your personal responsibility. You want to do, let's pull this lever, let's do this. And look where Jesus is at. Are you saying Jesus is irresponsible? Are you saying he's derelict in his duty of being God of the universe? No, he's asleep. During the middle of the storm, he is resting where he should be, where the rudder is, at the stern, where everything that controls where this the destiny of this boat, he's right there. On a cushion, laid down and rested. And what that tells me, Terry Wilson, is sometimes it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter the judgments of others. It doesn't even matter the judgments you give yourself. God Almighty manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ, to show me I have permission to rest right in the middle of the storm. I'm telling you, that's a word for somebody today. Some of you, hey, you've done this, and tried this, and tried this. And Jesus is saying, through his holy scripture right here, rest. You know, I love what Paul says there, and Pastor Terry did a great teaching on this just a while back. And after doing all of these things, and we always just bring it up to that one chapter. No, you got to go back to chapter one, you know, and bring it all up. I'll do this. Yeah, well, once you've done everything, I'm not saying, you know, but once you have done what God has called you to do and what you should do, just rest. Jesus is giving you permission to rest today. It's his fight. It's his storm. So he's back there and he's resting. So decision number six I've got to make if I want to experience peace today is just rest. I have decided I'm going to rest. I'm just going to allow him to carry this for me. Number seven, and by the way, this artwork right here, I saw this because I said, I wonder what those boats look like. And I went back and looked at some of the theologians I subscribe to. They said this was probably more like the boat that Jesus was in, which is just a small little boat you can see there. It's no big. When I first read this story as a kid, you know, I'm thinking a cruise ship or, you know, one of the, like the Mayflower. It wasn't nothing that big. It's just, so that tells you even more. You know, as if you've ever been out in the water, the bigger the boat, the less the rock and waves come when big storms come. Smaller boats feel it bigger, and they're in a very small boat there. And look where he's at. He's back there laying right beside where the guy's trying to hold the rudder. So I love that image right there. But number seven, the seventh question and decision, excuse me, I've got to make is this. I got to decide now, before a storm comes, before a challenge comes, I got to decide what I believe about his character. You know, I've got kids in college, and of course, I've been a fan of apologetical teaching for quite some time. Even I think God was preparing me early on, you know, 20 years ago before I was having kids of this age now, the questions that they were going to have to really face and answer and have professors really challenge them on. And that's just the benevolence and the character, really, of God. Because, you know, it's the old adage, you know, why does bad things happen to good people? And then either he's not all powerful or he's not all omnibenevolent. You know, and that whole philosophical empty debate that tries to get brought up to our young people and people that are struggling in their faith. But here's the thing I would tell you. You got to decide today, what do you believe about your God and your Savior and His character? Because in those moments of great trials and tribulations, in those moments of despair, it's human nature. We've all been there. God, where are you? But don't allow don't have that conversation when you're in the hardship. Have the conversation in your heart right now. He's a good God. And read his, and get that firm inside of you, the characteristics and the character of your good God. Because it says there, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" You know, they didn't wake him and say, "Hey, Jesus, the storm is here. What do you want us to do?" No, the first thing, the first reaction by human beings, and we're all there. We are no better than these disciples, is to wake him, jar him with our prayers, scream, fast, do whatever you take to get the attention of heaven and say, "Do you not care?" That's human nature, to have that kind of response, to have that kind of reaction. But settle it in your heart today that he is who he said he is. And if he being, if I being, you know, a type of father that's just wrapped in clay and have all of my faults and my failures and all that, how much better is he of a father? He said, and I love that passage over in Jeremiah where he thinks out loud. He says, "Wait a minute, you know, because these false prophets are coming and saying, 'Hey, you do this, you can get out of trouble in so much time,' because the children of Israel had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar and all that." And Jeremiah 29:11 comes along and says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to," you know, he's thinking out loud for the express purposes so that you and I can hear his inner thoughts. That he has good plans for us. And everything that touches us, even when it hurts, is for our better. And if you'll settle that now, then when the time comes and when the storms blow, it will already be settled. Number eight, the decision I have to make is speak out of rest. Not out of anger, not out of angst, not out of anxiety. But see, Jesus resting in who he is, resting in the Father, resting in knowing that it was declared, we're going to the other side. You know, all this storm here is to get us over there faster. You know, maybe the Lord, but whatever the purposes were, you know, he's rested and he speaks out of rest and he says, and he woke and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Now, I know you look that up, it literally is telling, "Hush, shut up, you know, be quiet." You know, that's what it's saying. But in English, it evokes this thought that I've always just found so appealing. And that's this, when you are rested and when you are fully rested and we're going to the other side, it doesn't matter what it looks like, and I have the peace of God on me, then when I speak out of rest and a rested spirit. Now look at this. When he woke up, he went, please stop, hush, yeah, quit, you heard it. It wasn't any of that. The English evokes this thought in my head where he just says, "Peace, be still." In other words, the problem that they were having was there was a storm, there was angst, there was all of this turmoil going on around them. He spoke to the solution. The solution was, we need peace. So peace, be still. In other words, solution, you're now given authority by God to come in and do your job. When we're rested in him, we see solutions. We don't see problems. And that's why it's so important when you and I are going through whatever, we rest. Because it's in that rest we see the solution. And when we see the solution through the power and the Spirit of God, we can start speaking to it through the authority of God, and it has to obey. But if I'm just constantly, well, we've got to, well, let's do this. And I've got this anxiety about me and this anxiousness about me. Then all of a sudden, I'm just constantly yelling, rebuking, cursing, or cussing if you're in the South, or whatever, to the problem. Oh, I wish this would stop. This needs to stop. You know, water, get back. You know, I'm speaking to problems instead of seeing where's, oh, the problem is we don't have peace. Well, peace, be still. When you're rested and you're encompassed by His peace that's given by His promise that, hey, we're going to the other side, then you can speak to solutions. You can see solutions, and you can see solutions manifest. Number nine, take charge of your environment. It says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In other words, they didn't say, well, I guess we're just going to roll with it. I guess we're just going to, you know, no. They took control. I've got to decide. It's okay. I've been given permission. I am the thermostat, not the thermometer. I'm here to change the environment of the room, not just give the readout of the room. See, when we can start walking in that posture, and that posture comes from being able to rest and have peace. And as I have peace and I'm rested, I'm speaking to solutions. And when I speak to solutions, I can decide, okay, let's take charge of this environment. This is what's going to, as far as me and my house, this is the way we have. This is, listen, some of us need to go through some areas of our lives, some areas of our business, some areas of our family, some areas of the things that we frequent on a day-to-day basis and start changing the environment. Because you have the authority when you're rested in speaking the peace that God has given you. In that peaceful state, there's everything that He is, you have the authority to speak into that and change the environment. You don't have to be a product of your environment. Your environment can be a result of having you in it. Number 10, understand the root of your fear. One of the great things Jesus did right then, he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Now, Jesus knows everything, and Jesus never asks a question that He doesn't know the answer to. What He is trying to get them to understand is, why are you afraid? What is the root of your fear? When I can start really being honest with myself, why am I afraid of this pandemic, if I am afraid? Why am I afraid of this, or why am I afraid of that? Well, I'm afraid that it can harm my health, okay? Why am I afraid if my health gets harmed? Well, I'm afraid I get sick and die, okay? Why am I afraid of dying? I mean, guys, nobody wants to die. No one wants to get sick. No, I'm not trying to get there, but I'm just saying this. When I can get to the root of why I'm afraid, I can start speaking the promises of God that promises, and one of the benefits of the promises of God is it brings peace. Well, I'm afraid it's going to disrupt my business and sales are going to go down. Well, why am I afraid of that? Well, money is going to go. Well, why am I afraid of that? Well, then I won't have enough to eat and I won't have enough. Am I not the provider? Am I not El Shaddai? Am I not Jehovah Jireh? Am I? In other words, when I can start getting right down, not this servicey stuff, but when I can get to the root of why are you afraid? Well, I'm afraid we're going to die in this boat, Jesus. Well, why are you afraid of that? Well, because the storms are coming. Well, why are you afraid of the storm? We're not going to get. Well, because we're not going to get. Did I not say, let us go to the other side? You see, once I can start drilling down over the root of my fear, I can then go back into the resources and the anvils of God's goodness and pull out every solution I need for that root. But as long as I'm dangling out here on the surface, I can never get to the root. And if I can't solve the root problem, then the fruit is still anxiety, depression, irritation, irritability, all this other stuff. Jesus asked the pointed question, not because He didn't know the answer, because as a good counselor, getting his patients to start speaking where they're at and then challenging them on where they're at and what they're saying, He's getting to this is why and this is the solution you need to solve this problem. Number 11, and finally, decide what you're going to fear. You know, fear is not always bad. A reverent fear of an almighty God is a healthy mental state and will bring you greater peace than you've ever had. You know, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is what? the fear of the Lord, right? If I reverently fear, who is this God that the winds and the rains have to obey him? If I start placing a reverent fear and awe in that, then all of a sudden this little minuscule stuff that I'm tempted to be, you know, scared of or afraid of or intimidated by, all of a sudden it pales in comparison. Listen, we as humans, we're designed to have a little bit of fear. You've got to or you wouldn't survive. If you didn't have a little bit of fear, the lion would have already eaten you in the jungle. So fear has served you in humanity. But the question is, where do you place your fear? I'm going to have the right fear and the reverent fear on a God that is there for me, that wants me, that cares for me and says he'll do everything for me. And the world has to surrender and yield at everything he says, does, and decrees. When I have the right fear pointed in the right direction, then the wrong fear pointed in the wrong direction no longer has an effect on me. I'm telling you, the peace of God is a promise that you can have today, and we want to give you and just encourage you to experience. As I've been given peace, I give to you as much as I can through this virtual a way of communicating this morning. And I thank you so much for coming out, and I hope today was a blessing to you. I hope that these 11 decisions that I was able to extrapolate from that small passage that we all know about will be of some benefit so you, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what winds and rains are tempting to cause you to go off course and feel like you're being tossed to and fro, whatever that looks like, I hope these 11 decisions I've been able to bring out today are 11 decisions you can have in the forefront of your mind, and I am deciding to do this, I'm deciding this, I'm deciding this, because I have decided to have peace. Now stay tuned. I think Liz has got some announcements for us.
Hey, wasn't that an amazing word we got to hear this morning? Now that you've been fed for the week, head over to www.fathersvineyard.org and feed your kids. There is a video for the elementary students, as well as one for the preschool, and each video has an activity right underneath it that matches the lesson for the week. That way your kids don't have to miss out on being in service either. Isn't that so cool that we can do that? Thanks again for joining us this week, and we can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.